I wonder if there have been times when you've been acutely aware of God's presence with you. You've just had that real sense that through this experience, God is with you. How do you know God is with you? Well, sometimes it's through the good times when everything's going smoothly. That's when you say, oh, God's really blessing me, and I have that sense of his presence. But sometimes then we forget about the presence of the Lord. It's actually during those good times that we kind of slip away and we think, yeah, everything's coasting fine. Aren't I just managing just fine? What about the times when you wonder if God is really there? Quite often, those come during bleak times when you're thinking, what on earth is going on? What's happening here? But actually, once again, it's very often during the bleak times or after the bleak times that you once again become aware that God was with you. Somebody has put it in these terms: according to the Holy Scriptures, human extremity is the frequent meeting place with God. It's through those hard times. The people of Israel had been through hard times. They had escaped from Egypt, but they needed reassurance. And they had already had some of that reassurance because Joshua had sent the two spies who had been hidden by Rahab, and they went into the land and they were able to bring back a report that said, oh, all the people are in fear of you. God is with us. God will give us this land. But the people had been wandering for 40 years. And I suspect there were many occasions where they had wondered, what's going on here? And part of the generation that had escaped from Egypt would have died by this time. And so you had young people who didn't know anything about Egypt, whose only experience was a nomadic existence, wandering, being told that they were going to a promised land, but seemingly never getting there. And so it's little wonder that they needed reassurance. And in some senses, that's what these chapters are about. It's about God reassuring the people, yes, I'm really here, and I am able to keep my promises. And so God gave instructions, but God said to them, I will part the Jordan. And of course, that's meant to bring to their minds and to ours the parallels with what had happened as they escaped from Egypt. As they escaped from Egypt, they were being chased, and God parted the Red Sea. And now as they were about to go into the promised land, God was saying to them, I will part the Jordan. The act itself was in some ways a souvenir, a cairn, a memorial. God's doing the same thing again. But before that happened, they were given specific instructions. And the specific instructions concerned the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, the Ark symbolized God's presence. And the people were told to stand a specified distance back from the Ark. That had two purposes. The first purpose was so that they could be far enough back that they could see the effects of what happened whenever the water parted. But also it was a reminder of how they were to revere God. Throughout the Old Testament, you read various incidents of the Ark of the Covenant. And when it was mistreated, God took it as a personal insult. Not because God was confined to the Ark of the Covenant, but because it was to symbolize his presence. And it was symbolic. But how they treated the Ark was a symptom of how they treated God. And as I was thinking of this, I was trying to think of parallels today. And I guess they're not exact parallels, but perhaps church and the Bible could be two examples. We don't worship either the church or the Bible, but they are a reminder that God has spoken, and they're a reminder that God is with us. And so if we're casual about these things, we'll be casual about God. And if we treat them appropriately, that is not by worshiping them, but by giving them their right place, then we are treating God right. Or we are more likely, at least, to be treating God right. We don't have an exact equivalent of the ark, but we do have things which point us to God, which help us in our worship of God. They're not themselves the objects of worship, but they say a lot about how we worship. And so the Ark of the Covenant marked the presence of God. The people were to be reassured, and then they were to step out in faith. Can you imagine the scene? The people were camped by the Jordan, and they were told, pack up, because you're going to go across. Now, in one sense, going across wasn't difficult. It was easy enough for them to get across. But there were steps of faith. And the first step of faith was packing all their goods. If they had been camped, they were being told, break camp, ready to go. And actually, that was a step of faith. Because they could say, well, we're just going into the water. But we can't possibly get across there. We'll be back here tonight. Before God does anything big, he asks us to step out in faith. He asks us to trust him. There's a cartoon which unfortunately I couldn't find, and it had the four priests standing on the edge with the Ark of the Covenant, with their feet ready to step in. And one turns to the other and says, did you stop to think how silly we're going to look if Joshua's got it all wrong? But in a sense, that's what faith is. Being prepared to look silly. A few years ago, some of us around the church read a book by a man called John Ortberg. It was called, If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. And in that title, it was picking up Peter. Whenever he was in the boat and Jesus was on the water, and Jesus said to him, step out of the boat. If you want to see God at work, you've got to step out in faith. You've got to be prepared to trust him. You've got to say, he's big enough and I can see him at work. And one question that's helpful to ask ourselves is, what am I doing that I wouldn't be able to do if it weren't for the power of God? In other words, where am I stretching myself? Where am I moving out of my comfort zone? When I take the risk of giving generously, I discover that I really can trust God to take care of me. When I take the risk of confessing my sin against somebody to them, I discover that God honors the honesty. But in both of those experiences, you have to get your feet wet. You have to be prepared to take that step of faith. And so before we see God at work in might and in power, we have to step out in faith. But it's not our faith that's the telling factor. It's what God does. Faith's only useful if it's in a big God. If God weren't able to act in the first place, well then our faith is useless. But it's because of the nature of God. It's because of who he is. It's because God is the God who parted the Red Sea. It's because God is the God who parted the Jordan. It's because God is the God who made an empty tomb. That's how we can step out in faith. It's because he has proved himself time and time again. And so God says, I've been with you before. Remember that. And it's because I've been with you before, I'll be with you again. Step out in faith and remember what God has done. The stones, they were a powerful symbol, weren't they? You can imagine future generations being brought to the site. What happened? What's that pile of stones about? Where did they come from? Oh, well, actually, they all came from the middle of the Jordan. Oh, that's great. Did divers go down and get them? No. When our ancestors walked through the Jordan, they were told to bring a stone representing each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And that was the memorial. It was a visual aid. It was a way of learning. It was a different way that allowed parents to tell their children, grandparents to tell their grandchildren what God had done. I'm sure prophets spoke about it. I'm sure priests spoke about it. But there was a visual aid memoir there for the people to learn by. And so God teaches in different ways. He teaches through preaching his word. But he gave us all our senses and wants us to use all of our senses in learning. In some ways, the cairn, the memorial stones, also give us a useful model for parents, grandparents around baptism. What are the promises that we take? To bring up our children or our grandchildren to know about the Lord. How do we do that? We just tell the stories. Here's what God did for me. And here's what God has done for all of us. It's storytelling by God's people. Remember what God has done. But the very fact that a cairn was built, that memorial was built, was also a reminder that God doesn't do these kind of miracles every day. Tell about what had happened in the Red Sea 40 years before. Tell about the Jordan. But don't expect God to part the water every day. Most of the time, God says, I am with you in the ordinary stuff. And when you need a really big thing, I will do it for you. But how do you learn about God? We tell the stories of the extraordinary stuff. We see his might in the extraordinary stuff. And the very fact that we tell these stories is a reminder that actually God mainly works through ordinary stuff, through the laws of nature, through science, through the stuff that we're able to explain. And it's only every now and again that, if you like, he steps outside that. But what he wants us to understand is he is big enough to step outside that. And that's why we can go outside our comfort zone. That's why we can step out of faith in faith. That's why we can put our leg over the side of the boat and God says, yep, it's okay. I'll be with you. God is with us. Maybe you're acutely aware of something big that you've got coming up. Maybe you need that reassurance, the equivalent of the walking through the Jordan to get you through that. God's big enough to do that. But maybe he's just saying to you, actually, I'm not giving you the Jordan or the Red Sea experience. I gave those thousands of years ago, and I'm still the same God as I was then. So just trust in me. Trust in me for your situation. I'll be with you because I'm the same God now as I was then. I'm the same God now as I was at that time that you were particularly aware of my presence. I'm the same God now, he says, as I've always been. And so trust. God's big enough to do these miracles. But actually, our faith has to be in that big God that doesn't always require a miracle, that doesn't always do the extraordinary stuff, but who is with us in the ordinary. What do you face this week, this month? God is big enough to deal with it, to take you through it. And if you need reassurance, find your own cairn, your own souvenir, your own reminder of that time when you were particularly aware of the presence of God. And then remind yourself, he hasn't changed. He's the same, and he loves you just as much as he did then. Let's pray together. Almighty God, thank you that you are big enough. Thank you that you are with us. And thank you that we have stories to tell of what you have done for us. And because of all those things, we can trust you for what lies ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.